Welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, April 20th on Iris. I'm your reader, Erin. Our first article on the front page. Council aims for explosive 4th of July. Dubuque officials approve fireworks displays as well as a request by Dubuque Dream Center by John Cruz. The upcoming summer is looking brighter after Dubuque City Council members on Monday night approved permits for 2 firework displays in connection with Independence Day. Council members voted 7-0 to approve requests for community firework displays on July 3rd and 4th. Both celebrations were canceled in 2020 due to COVID-19 concerns. Council members also gave final approval to a request by Dubuque Dream Center to allow for the demolition of a neighboring building. Fireworks. The summer fireworks displays have been longtime staples of the community, particularly the July 3rd fireworks show hosted by Radio Dubuque and Dubuque Jaycees at A.Y. McDonald Park, which draws massive crowds. The July 4th show at Dubuque Golf and Country Club also is heavily attended. City Council member Rick Jones stressed that the council's vote did not do more than approve the firework permits. Quote, "We are not ending the mask ordinance or changing the social distancing rules," Jones said. "We are only approving the fireworks permit. The conditions of July will determine if facial coverings are still required," end quote. Council member Brad Kavanaugh suggested that those restrictions could be lifted by July if residents adhere to them now and get vaccinated against COVID-19. Quote, "We have an opportunity here as a community to be able to buckle down and do what we have to do for a few months, and then we can party," end quote, Kavanaugh said. Quote, "It's a realistic possibility that we could have something similar to what has previously been," end quote. Mary Rose Corrigan, public health specialist for Dubuque, told the Telegraph Herald last week that any approval of the fireworks dates should come with, quote, disclaimers, end quote, that allow for reconsideration if key metrics such as COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations are pointing in the wrong direction as July 4th approaches. Dream Center Project. City Council members also voted 7-0 to approve an ordinance amendment, which was requested by Dubuque Dream Center, to remove the building located at 1620 and 1628 White Street from the Washington Street Neighborhood Conservation District. This would allow the center, located at the corner of East 16th and White Streets, to purchase the property and demolish it to allow for the creation of green space and an external elevator addition. Dubuque Dream Center provides childcare services, but possessing the proposed green space would allow the Dream Center to become a licensed childcare center with the state, allowing it to bring in additional revenue. City documents also state that Dream Center needs to spend grant funds by July to make facility improvements. The proposal previously received significant opposition at the City Council's April 5th meeting after officials with Dubuque Heritage Works and Dubuque Historic Preservation Commission recommended against its passage. At the meeting, council members only approved the first reading of the request in order to allow the Dream Center and Heritage Works to work together to find a solution to the issue before a final vote was taken. On Monday, Duane Haggerty, CEO of Dubuque Heritage Works, said his organization had met with center officials and, after further consideration, now supports the center's request. Quote, "Those discussions confirmed to us that they could possibly need that property to the north," Haggerty said, later adding, "I am grateful that this issue brought Heritage Works and the Dream Center together," end quote. Center Executive Director Robert Kimball thanked Heritage Works and the council for their support of the project. Our next front page article, BizBuzz Cafe whets appetite for reopening. Cuba City Eatery has closed temporarily. Bellevue Banquet Hall expands, and Home Decor Business has opened in Lancaster. By Jeff Montgomery, Telegraph Herald business editor. BizBuzz shares business tidbits from the tri-states. In this week's edition, we highlight developments in Cuba City and Lancaster, Wisconsin, as well as Bellevue, Iowa. Citing a confluence of challenges, a popular Cuba City restaurant has shut its doors temporarily. Nick's Cafe has been closed since Easter. However, owner Bobby Shabani emphasized the shutdown is not permanent and said the eatery plans to reopen on May 5th. Throughout the past year, supply chain issues and resulting food shortages have made it difficult to restock certain ingredients and menu items, according to Shabani. Even more worrisome has been the inability to keep the restaurant adequately staffed. Nick's Cafe typically employs 15 to 19 workers. Heading into Easter weekend, however, the restaurant was down to just a few employees. Shabani learned on Easter Day that some of these workers would not be returning and decided to temporarily pull the plug on his business. Quote, we could have kept the doors open, but we ran the risk of having bad service, he said. If you give customers bad service once or twice, you can lose them forever. That is not the kind of operation I run, end quote. Shabani instead opted to take a break, using the time off to revise the restaurant's menu and beef up its staff. He said 5 new workers have been hired. He also is remodeling the kitchen so it is easier for new staff members to navigate. Shabani opened Nick's Cafe with his father, Nick, in July 2003. His father retired about 7 years ago. Cuba City Economic Development Director Bob Jones emphasized that Nick's Cafe frequently has garnered awards for offering the best breakfast and lunch in the county. He noted that it is among many businesses struggling with workforce issues. Quote, there are a large number of businesses that are having trouble hiring workers, he said. It is particularly hard in the restaurant and food service industry, end quote. Nick's Cafe is located at 119 South Main Street and can be reached at 608-744-3424. Beginning May 5th, it will be open from 6 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. 7 days per week. Banquet hall expands. After making significant upgrades, a Bellevue business is ready to take on a busy wedding and event season. Horizon Lanes and Hall, 970 North Riverview Drive, recently completed improvements to its banquet hall and event space. Quote, it was a total renovation of the inside and front of the building, end quote, said Jared Feller, who co-owns the business with his fiance, Brandy Dirks. Horizon Lanes and Hall serves as both a bowling alley and a banquet and event space. Feller called the decision to remodel the banquet area a, quote, spur-of-the-moment thing, end quote, and said the renovations were conducted over the course of a month. Crews removed a garage to increase the usable space within the facility, raising the indoor seating capacity to about 500 people. Workers also conducted a series of aesthetic upgrades on the interior and added a large overhang on the outside of the building, where there is extra seating. As people grow more comfortable gathering together in person, Feller said there is a big season in store for events. Quote, it is going to be a really busy wedding season, he said. That was the determining factor for doing this, end quote. The business also hosts anniversary parties, benefits, and other large events. Feller has owned Horizon Lanes and Hall for about 3 years. Shortly after taking over the business, he oversaw improvements to the bowling alley portion of the business, where he created more seating and a party room for birthdays. The business can be reached at 563-872-4441. New home decor store. A new store in Lancaster has added a different dimension to a business that has been in existence for more than a century. Eastman Cartwright Home opened its doors in 129 North Madison Street on Saturday. Quote, we have a bunch of cute take-and-go items, end quote, said design director Linda Schatt. Quote, we have furniture, home decor, lighting, anything you can think of for inside the house, end quote. The new offering continues at the evolution of Eastman Cartwright, a lumber business whose origins trace back to 1919. Linda's husband, Will, owns Eastman Cartwright Lancaster, representing the fifth generation of his family to lead the company. Originally from Chicago, Linda moved to southwest Wisconsin a few years ago and began her own mark on the business. In late 2019, she spearheaded the opening of a furniture store and interior design company dubbed Eastman Cartwright Home that operated out of Eastman Cartwright's lumber yard in Lancaster. The new location on North Madison Street marks another step forward for that vision, establishing a separate storefront in a busy shopping district where customers can find unique items for their homes. Quote, it is close to a lot of other shops and there is a lot of drive-by traffic and walking traffic, Linda said. I think it is a great location, end quote. Scott emphasized that the store will regularly update its inventory and provide new items for residents to pursue. Quote, it is forever going to be changing, she said. We don't want everybody to have the same things in their homes, end quote. She said she is grateful to her husband and his family for supporting her new ideas for the 102-year-old business. Quote, they've been really supportive and willing to grow in a new direction, she said. That's really the reason this was able to happen, end quote. Eastman Cartwright Home is open from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday. The business can be reached at 608-723-2177, and customers can learn more by visiting eastmancartwrighthome.com. our last front page article, supervisors tweaking EB Lyons deal, divided Dubuque County Board looks to modify an agreement on the center at Mines of Spain by Benjamin Fisher. A majority of the Dubuque County Board of Supervisors seems set to sign an agreement to open and staff the EB Lyons Interpretive Center at Mines of Spain State Recreation Area, bearing small changes. During a work session Monday, supervisors Ann McDonoghue and Harley Pothoff generally supported the agreement with the City of Dubuque and the state as presented. The Center for Area Conservation, Education, and Programming has seen its hours reduced since the Mines of Spain's full-time ranger was eliminated in 2017. The COVID-19 pandemic then prompted the center's closing last year and has not reopened. On Monday, McDonoghue and Pothoff requested adjustments to some of the agreement's language to lessen some of the burden on the county in relation to staffing and upkeep of the center. These touched on concerns voiced by Supervisor Jay Wickham, but did not go nearly as far as he requested. He took issue chiefly with language that required that the county pay for day-to-day maintenance of the center. Quote, "We don't own the Mines of Spain. That is owned by the state," Wickham said. "We don't own the E.B. Lyons Center. That is owned at least partly by the City of Dubuque. I don't have any interest in paying maintenance on a building we don't own. We have 20-some parks that need some love," end quote. Wickham pointed out again that Dubuque County is the smallest entity included in the agreement. Quote, "The state has plenty of money. It's just down to priorities," he said. "The city also has a much larger tax base than we do. Their parks department is much bigger than our conservation department," end quote. The agreement as presented included hiring a naturalist to staff the facility at a cost of $56,000 annually for 10 years. Wickham said that would bind future elected officials too much for his liking. Quote, "I don't like that," he said. "You're committing to $500,000 with other agencies. I'd love another naturalist. I just don't want it in a 28E agreement," end quote. County supervisors already had approved a budget for next fiscal year, which starts July 1, that includes a new naturalist position. Wickham requested that the sections pertaining to employment and maintenance be stricken from the EB Lyons agreement. McDonoghue, though, said the naturalist position was central to the whole arrangement. Quote, "The purpose of this agreement is to put people out there to open it," she said. "I don't know how you can come to an agreement without putting a person there for a significant amount of time," end quote. Pothoff said the city and county evenly splitting the cost of the naturalist position made sense to him. Quote, "They're agreeing to pay for part of their wages as well," he said. "To me, that's a win-win," end quote. Pothoff acknowledged Wickham's concerns about tying future county supervisors' hands, but said the value the county would get through the deal outweighed them. McDonoghue and Pothoff asked Dubuque County Conservation Board Director Brian Preston to ask the city, Iowa Department of Natural Resources, and Friends of the Mines of Spain to remove the, quote, new, end quote, requirement for the naturalist position, so the naturalist already approved this fiscal year would fit that role. They also wanted it made clear that any maintenance that the county was responsible for would be, quote, minor, end quote, such as replacing light bulbs and cleaning. More extensive maintenance would be the responsibility of the city. Wickham warned of the precedent set with the agreement. Quote, "This is subsidizing the city of Dubuque," he said. "These funds are from all the county and the cities and unincorporated areas. Before we jump in, does it really help City of Dyersville residents?" End quote. The agreement still will need to be approved by the Board of Supervisors before it can take effect. No potential timetable was discussed regarding when EB Lyons might reopen. Moving to page 2A for more local news. Work begins at East Dubuque School. The $3.5 million renovation project will expand and revamp the high school and junior high building. By Allie Hinga, East Dubuque, Illinois. Construction of a nearly $3.5 million renovation and expansion to East Dubuque High School and Junior High officially gets underway this week. Construction crews began staging at the school Monday to start construction today on what officials say represents the first phase of an effort to eventually have all students in the district on one campus. Quote, "We're excited to get going and to show the community of East Dubuque what our plans are for this project and going into the future," end quote, said Superintendent T.J. Potts. The current phase of work includes moving the high school office to the front entrance of the building to improve safety and security. Crews also will renovate the school's locker bay area into special education classrooms and construct a new weight room on the back of the building. Officials also are remodeling the kitchen and cafeteria to bring in new appliances and add components of a community room that can be used by different groups. Quote, there is a lot of stuff in that kitchen that's original to the facility, so that's going to be really great to have some updates done there, end quote, said school board president Glenn Foote. The total project cost is expected to come in at just under $3.5 million, Potts said. Officials initially had budgeted about $3 million for the work, but factors such as rising material costs and state labor laws drove bids over projections. However, the district's facilities fund is in good shape, and the pandemic hasn't impacted 1 cent sales tax revenues to the extent that officials once anticipated, so they felt comfortable moving ahead with the project, Potts said. Quote, we feel pretty comfortable that we would be able to use district funds or potentially bond for the extra money to make sure the project gets done on time, end quote, he said. Renovations to the kitchen area, maintenance, and special education classrooms are expected to be completed by the beginning of September, while the weight room is expected to be finished in October. Following the current construction project, district officials plan another two or three phases of work over the next 10 to 15 years to bring all of the district's students to one campus. Potts said the second phase of work likely will happen in the next 3 years, while the timeline for future projects will depend on the economy and how it bounces back from the COVID-19 pandemic. Foote said the current work helps put into place some early pieces that will be needed for the eventual transition to one campus. Quote, we figured we have to start somewhere, Foote said. This is a good start, and those next pieces we can plan out from there to see how things go, end quote. One new COVID-19 death in Dubuque County, Telegraph Herald. The Telegraph Herald is recapping changes in local COVID-19 testing and vaccinations. Monday's developments included: one new death was reported in Dubuque County between 5 p.m. Sunday and 5 p.m. Monday. The county's total rose to 203. Nine more residents of Dubuque County were confirmed to have COVID-19 during the 24-hour span. As of 5 p.m. Monday, Dubuque County had a 14-day positivity rate of 4.9%. Rates in other area Iowa counties included Clayton County 4.1%, Delaware County 4.2%, Jackson County 3.5%, and Jones County 3.2%. The state provided new county-level hospitalization data Monday. The data stated that, as of Saturday, six Dubuque County residents with COVID-19 were hospitalized, a decrease of three from Wednesday. Three such residents of Delaware County were hospitalized, a decrease of one. Three such residents of Jones County were hospitalized, an increase of one. One such resident of Jackson County was hospitalized, same as Wednesday. No such residents of Clayton County were hospitalized as of Sunday, a decrease of two. Regional Medical Center Manchester announced Monday that the appointments are available for the Strawberry Point Vaccine Clinic on Wednesday, April 21st. The Moderna vaccine will be administered. To register, visit regmedctr.org/COVID-strawberry. As of Monday, 89,781 residents of the Telegraph Herald's 10-county coverage area had been fully vaccinated, 29.8% of the area's population. Statewide, Iowa reported 327 additional residents with COVID-19 in the 24-hour period that ended at 5 p.m. Monday, increasing the state's total to 360,340. The state had five additional related deaths as of 5 p.m. Monday, raising the death toll to 5,886. Iowa did not report updated vaccination numbers as of 5 p.m. Monday. As of Sunday, 882,783 people had been fully vaccinated in Iowa, an increase of 11,989 from Saturday. In Wisconsin, two COVID-19 vaccination clinics will be held this week in Grant County. The first will be held Wednesday, April 21st from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the former Shopko location in Lancaster. The second will be held Thursday, April 22nd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Broski Center in Platteville. Walk-ins are welcome. For more information, call the Health Department at 608-723-6416. Vaccine appointments are also available at Grant Regional Health Center in Lancaster. tinyurl.com/4PVVSUN2 or by calling 608-723-2131. Southwest Health Center in Platteville, 608-342-6280. And High Point Family Medicine in Lancaster, 608-723-3100. As of Monday, Iowa County will use an online sign-up for COVID-19 vaccination appointments. To sign up for an appointment, visit iowacounty.org and select the Schedule COVID Vaccine toward the bottom of the page. Iowa County is holding a vaccination clinic at the Lands End Comer Center in Dodgeville on Thursday, April 22nd. To sign up for the clinic, visit tinyurl.com/YRDPVBYC. Wisconsin reported 373 additional confirmed COVID-19 cases Monday, increasing its total to 590,831. The state's death toll increased by 1 to 6,710. As of 5 p.m. Monday, 1.6 million residents have been fully vaccinated, or 27.7% of the population. There were 1,959 new COVID-19 cases announced Monday in Illinois, for a state total of 1,304,200. The state reported 22 additional related deaths, increasing the death toll to 21,685. Illinois also reported more than 3.3 million residents were fully vaccinated, 26.4% of the state's population. News in brief, Dubuque man sentenced to 6 years for gun offense. A Dubuque man recently was sentenced to more than 6 years in federal prison for possessing a stolen gun. Christopher N. Roth, 39, was sentenced in U.S. District Court in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, according to a press release. Roth pleaded guilty on November 5th to possession of a firearm with a prohibited person by a prohibited person. The release states that in April 2020, Roth, quote, became upset with a group of people and threatened at least one of them. When officers located Roth later, he was in possession of a loaded gun, which he had recently stolen from someone he knew, end quote, the release states. Roth admitted he was a user of methamphetamine and marijuana and had 27 adult criminal convictions, including convictions for theft, attempted burglary, and domestic abuse. Quote, 7 of Roth's prior convictions include physical violence or threatening others, end quote, the release stated. Roth also must serve a 3-year term of supervised release after his prison term. There is no parole in the federal system. Motorcyclist hurt avoiding vehicle collision in Dubuque. A motorcyclist was injured avoiding a vehicle collision Sunday night in Dubuque. Justin M. Connolly, 37, of Dubuque, was taken by ambulance to Mercy One at Dubuque Medical Center for treatment, according to Dubuque police. The crash occurred at 7:55 p.m. Sunday at the intersection of Mineral Street and Devon Drive. Police and Connolly was westbound on Mineral when he attempted to turn onto Devon, and an eastbound vehicle driven by Anthony Love Jr., 25, of Dubuque, failed to stop at a stop sign at the intersection. Connolly braked to avoid a collision, and his motorcycle tipped over. Love was cited with failure to stop at a stop sign, according to police. Police, the Dubuque Police and Dubuque County Sheriff's Departments reported Kaylin M. Cameron, 24, was arrested at 10:50 a.m. Monday at Dubuque Law Enforcement Center on a warrant charging third-degree criminal mischief. Edward W. Moon, 32, of Chicago, was arrested at 8:15 a.m. Monday in the 1800 block of White Street on a charge of public intoxication and a warrant charging assault with injury. Court documents state that Moon assaulted Neona M. Barrage, 34, on April 10th. Brandon S. Schuler, 29, of rural Dubuque, was arrested at 12:24 a.m. Monday at his residence on a charge of third offense operating while intoxicated. Timothy L. Colson, 35, was arrested at 9:19 p.m. Sunday in the 2500 block of Central Avenue on a charge of assault with injury. Court documents state that Colson assaulted Elizabeth T. Winders, 30, Theodore S. Evans, 43, was arrested at 7:55 a.m. Sunday at his residence on a warrant charging domestic assault. Court documents state that Evans assaulted Tamisha L. Brown, 39, of the same address on September 5th. Walmart, 4200 Dodge Street, reported the theft of items worth $670 at about 10:25 p.m. Thursday. Brianna A. Brandenburg, 24, reported a fraud case resulting in the loss of $1,400 between 6 p.m. Wednesday and 5:40 p.m. Thursday. Mercy One Dubuque Medical Center, 250 Mercy Drive, reported $1,360 worth of criminal damage done at about 3:30 p.m. Thursday. James T. D. Young, 53, of Sugar Grove, Illinois, reported a burglary resulting in the theft of tools and other items worth $940 between September 1 and March 28 from 1065 Century Circle. Almanac. Today is Tuesday, April 20th, the 110th day of the 2021. There are 255 days left in the year. On this date, in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed a proclamation admitting West Virginia to the Union, effective in 60 days on June 20th, 1863. In 1914, the Ludlow Massacre took place when the Colorado National Guard opened fire on a tent colony of striking miners. About 20 accounts vary strikers. Women and children died. In 1916, the Chicago Cubs played their first game at Wrigley Field, then Wigham Park. The Cubs defeated the Cincinnati Reds 7-6. In 1945, during World War II, Allied forces took control of the German cities of Nuremberg and Stuttgart. In 1971, the Supreme Court unanimously upheld the use of busing to achieve racial desegregation in schools. In 1972, Apollo 16 lunar model carrying astronauts John W. Young and Charles M. Duke Jr. landed on the moon. In 1988, gunmen who had hijacked a Kuwait Airways jumbo jet were allowed safe passage out of Algeria under an agreement that freed the remaining 31 hostages and ended a 15-day siege in which two passengers were slain. In 1999, the Columbine High School massacre took place in Colorado as two students shot and killed 12 classmates and one teacher before taking their own lives. We've got one letter to the editor today. Wisconsin should not legalize marijuana, but from Michael Brewer, County Road VV, Glen Haven, Wisconsin. No, we should not legalize marijuana. As a father and a grandfather, I am very upset by the news that Governor Tony Evers is advocating for the legalization of marijuana in the upcoming Wisconsin budget. However, this does not surprise me, as Democrats are promoting this at the federal level also. These politicians seem to forget that for years they condemned the tobacco industry for ruining our health and driving up insurance costs and enticing young people into making unhealthy, addictive lifestyle choices. Having learned nothing from those experiences, these same lawmakers want to legalize something that can be far more harmful. Money-minded pro-marijuana backers feel that Wisconsin is losing out on tax benefits because we do not have illegal recreational marijuana, but this is simply not true. The Colorado Christian University Centennial Institute states that, quote, $4.57 is spent to mitigate marijuana's effects for every $1 it generates, end quote. I reached out to my state senator, Howard Markline, on the issue since he helps write the Wisconsin budget as the chairman of the Joint Finance Committee. Thankfully, he stands firmly against the legalization of marijuana in Wisconsin. For the future of our kids and grandkids, we cannot let legalization happen on our state. In fact, we should be doing more to curb its use. If Evers were to be totally honest, I'm sure he would not want his grandchildren to use marijuana, even if it is legal. Moving to the obituaries, Grace A. Doughty, D-A-U-G-H-E-T-E-E, Grace A. Gartner Doughty, age 78, of Dubuque, passed away at 12:30 a.m. on Sunday, April 18, 2021, at Sunset Park Place. To celebrate Grace's life, family and friends may visit from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. on Wednesday, April 21, 2021, at Bear Funeral Home, 1491 Main Street. Due to COVID-19 concerns, all who attend will be required to wear a face covering and are asked to please maintain social distancing practices. To honor Grace's life, funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. on Thursday, April 22nd, 2021, at St. Peter Lutheran Church, 3200 Asbury Road. Grace's service will be available via the following link: youtube.com/channel/UC4KMFXYH _KNV8XMK0CAQZTA. And I'm sure if you just visit the bearfuneralhome.com webpage, there will be a YouTube link through there. Burial will be in Mount Calvary Cemetery. Grace was born on July 19th, 1942, in Dubuque, Iowa, daughter of Lois and Clara Schuler Gartner. Grace married Lyle V. Dottie on February 4th, 1961, at Holy Ghost Church. Together, they enjoyed 44 years of married life, raising 5 children and enjoying their 7 grandchildren. She worked for the Dubuque Community School District in food service, beginning in 1973 at Kennedy Elementary and then transferring to the Central Kitchen in 1989. She retired in 1999 after thoroughly enjoying her 26 years of service. Grace loved to bake and cook, frequently entertaining her large family for Sunday dinners. She was a laundry wizard. There was no stain she could not conquer. There was nothing she enjoyed more than spending time with her grandkids. She was known for her, quote, Grammy subs, end quote, and baked goods, each individually wrapped. Her other hobbies included gardening while admiring the hummingbirds, conversations on the patio, and frequenting the local casinos. Those left to cherish Grace's memory include her children, Kim, spouse Greg Nagel Dottie of Dubuque, Iowa, Pamela Dottie of Manchester, Iowa, Lyle, spouse Julie Dottie of Robbins, Iowa, Tom, spouse Mary Dottie of Dubuque, Iowa, and Carla, spouse John Hedges of Dubuque, Iowa. 7 grandchildren, Jeremy, spouse Danielle Dottie, Eric, spouse Rachel Dottie, Christy Dottie, Alex, spouse Amanda Hedges, Audrey, spouse Brad Menson, Logan Dottie, and Aaron Dottie. 13 great-grandchildren, her siblings, Eugene, spouse Jane Gartner, and Joyce Briggs, both of Dubuque, Iowa. 2 sisters-in-law, Ruthie, spouse Dave Gerard, and Vicky Gartner. 2 brothers-in-law, Larry Dottie and Richard Wagner, and many nieces and nephews. Grace was preceded in death by her parents, her husband Lyle Dottie, a grandson Zachary Zillig in infancy, her siblings Eileen, spouse Herb Lucas, Donald Gardner, Mary Lou Wagner, and Jane Dottie, and her in-laws Joanne and Elmer Pickle, Luella and Laverne Pickle, Marilyn and Vincent Troy, Donna and Oakley Brady, and Walter Briggs. Grace's family would like to thank the hospice staff for their loving and compassionate care. The family will thankfully receive your support through phone calls, greeting cards, and memorials in Grace's memory, which may be mailed to Bear Funeral Home, 1491 Main Street, Dubuque, Iowa, 52001. Attention, Grace Dottie family. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.bearfuneralhome.com. Thomas E. Feldman, Blount, South Dakota. Thomas, known as Smiley Eldon Feldman, 68, of Blount, South Dakota, formerly of Rickardsville, Iowa, passed away on February 24, 2021, as a result of injuries sustained in a car accident in rural Blount, South Dakota. A celebration of life will be from 1 to 4 p.m. Saturday, April 24, 2021, at Dockside Marina, 22500 Golf Lake Road, Dubuque, Iowa, next to Mud Lake Park. The prayer service will take place at 1 p.m. Brother Stephen Markham will officiate. Tom was born on February 8, 1953, to Eldon and Marina Klein Feldman in Dubuque, Iowa. He spent his formative years in Rickardsville, Iowa, before graduating from Leo High School in Holy Cross, Iowa, in 1971. While in high school, he lived with his grandparents and was introduced to one of his lifelong loves, farming. Following high school, Tom proudly served in the Iowa National Guard from 1971 to 1977. While serving, he met and married his first love, Kathy Ann Kerper, on November 20th, 1976, in Sherrill, Iowa. Their union was blessed with 2 children, Angie and Michelle. He proudly farmed on his grandparents' original homestead. After Kathy's long battle with lupus, she passed away on Valentine's Day in 1994. Tom then lived in Dubuque, Iowa, until he met Trudy King of Blount, South Dakota. Tom and Trudy were united in marriage on July 7, 2007, wherein Tom also gained his stepson, Shiloh King. Tom also worked as a pipeliner for 14 years before returning to his true love, being a farmer. Tom's love of the land and livestock in his care was second to none. Some of Tom's hobbies throughout life included being a semi-pro baseball player for Rickardsville and playing softball for Little Ed's, where he was known more by his nickname, Smiley, than anything else, which tells you a lot about the type of man Tom was. but he was by far the biggest fan of the Iowa Hawkeyes, the Green Bay Packers, the Chicago White Sox, and the Chicago Bulls. He was passionate about his sports teams and would fill you in on all of his knowledge. He loved his Harley Davidson motorcycle, where he made many friends and memories on his many rides. He also enjoyed spoiling his grandchildren, who always looked forward to spending part of their summer vacation with him. He is survived by his loving wife, Trudy, daughter, Angie, spouse, Jeremy Schmidt of Sherrill, Iowa, stepson, Shiloh King of Blount, South Dakota, four brothers, Mark, spouse Mary Feldman of Wilton, Iowa, Kevin, known as Ike Feldman of Dubuque, Iowa, Bruce, spouse Sarah Feldman of Dyersville, Iowa, Brian, spouse Connie Feldman of Sherrill, Iowa, brother-in-law Matt, spouse Beth King of Pierre, South Dakota, sister-in-law Nancy, spouse Robert Kunson of Wasilla, Arkansas, father-in-law Lowell King, and mother-in-law Thelma King, both of Blount, South Dakota, his two grandchildren, Kylie and Dylan, and all of his nieces and nephews. Tom was preceded in death by his parents, his first wife, Kathy, and his daughter, Michelle. The family welcomes you to wear your favorite sports team apparel. Nancy A. Welty, Platteville, Wisconsin. Nancy A., known as Nanny Welty, 69, of Platteville, Wisconsin, formerly of Dubuque, Iowa, died on Friday, April 16th, 2021. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. Burial will be at Mount Calvary Cemetery, Dubuque, Iowa. The Melby Funeral Home and Crematory of Platteville is serving the family. Memorials may be made to the Nancy A., known as Nanny Welty Memorial Fund, which can be mailed to the funeral home at P.O. Box 245, Platteville, Wisconsin, 53818. Online condolences may be made at www.melbyfh.com. Nancy was born on September 14th, 1951, in San Antonio, Texas, the daughter of Frederick and Catherine Haas Welty. Nancy graduated from Dubuque Senior High School. She worked at the Bridge Restaurant Dubuque until she went to work at Bethany Home, where she worked for 25 years doing housekeeping. Nancy greatly enjoyed spending time at the Platteville Senior Center, where she was able to visit with her many friends and participate in the activities. Music was a very important part to Nancy's life. She enjoyed the live music at the Senior Center and always had music on at home. Nancy also enjoyed going to the movies, especially scary movies, reading, coloring, dogs, and being outside on a nice day, swinging on the porch swing. She was an avid Packers fan. Nancy also loved to be around children. Nancy is survived by three siblings, Fred, spouse Renee Welty, Jody, spouse Clarence, known as Clem Mooster, and Mary, spouse Dwayne Casca. Her caregiver and niece, Faye Engler, two aunts, Frances Harry and Sally Haas, and many loving nieces, nephews, and friends. She was preceded in death by her parents, sisters Kathleen Keck, and several aunts and uncles. Mary Alice Nylon, Sinsonawa, Wisconsin. Sister Mary Alice Elena Nylon, OP, died April 14th, 2021 at St. Dominic Villa, Sinsonawa. She was born to Joseph and Olive Junk Nylon in Appleton, Wisconsin on April 1st, 1928. Mary Alice was the oldest of five children. She is survived by nieces, nephews, cousins, and her Dominican sisters. Mary Alice was a kind and thoughtful woman. She was full of gratitude for everyone and everything. She taught elementary school in Wisconsin and Minnesota, high school in Illinois and Wyoming. From 1973 to 1980, she was director of an adult education center in Washington, D.C., and then in Illinois. In 1982, Mary Alice turned to Hispanic ministry, bringing her sense of quiet joy to New Mexico, Oklahoma, Florida, Mexico, and Illinois. She retired in 2017. Services will be held at Sinsonawa. Miller Funeral Home is handling arrangements. Mary O. Huser, Glen Haven, Wisconsin. Mary O. Huser, 88, of Glen Haven, died on Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. Parish Rosary will be prayed at 8:45 a.m. Saturday, April 24th, at St. Mary Help of Christians Church in Glen Haven, where visitation will be held from 9 to 11:30 a.m., and a massive Christian burial will be held at 11:30 a.m. Burial will be in Gockel Cemetery in Glen Haven. Diane Peacock. Diane Peacock, 67, of Dubuque, died on Sunday, April 18th, 2021. Visitation will be held from 9 to 11 a.m. Friday, April 23rd, at St. Anthony Catholic Church in Dubuque, where a massive Christian burial will be held at 11 a.m. Hoffman, Schneider, and Kitchen Funeral Home, 3860 Asbury Road, is assisting the family. Theodore G. Kolb, Piosta, Iowa. Theodore G. Kolb, 71, of Piosta, died on Saturday, April 17th, 2021. Visitation will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. Thursday, April 22nd, and after 9 a.m. Friday, April 23rd, at Reef Funeral Home in Piosta. Services will be held at 10:30 a.m. Friday at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Piosta. William J. Huss, 85, of Dubuque, died on Monday, April 19th, 2021. Visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, April 22nd, at Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road. A massive Christian burial will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, April 23rd, at St. Columbkill Catholic Church in Dubuque. Janice Smith, West Union, Iowa. Janice Smith, 85, of West Union, died on Saturday, April 10th, 2021. Graveside services will be held at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, April 24th, at Garnavillo City Cemetery. Burnham Wood Guru Funeral Home and Cremation Service of West Union is assisting the family. Mary Jo A. Haas, 68, of Dubuque, died on Wednesday, March 31st, 2021. Visitation will be held from 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday, April 24th, at Bear Funeral Home, 1491 Main Street, where services will be held at 11 a.m. Burial will be in Mount Olviet Cemetery in Dubuque. James J. Ohmhurt, Platteville, Wisconsin. James J. Ohmhurt, 55, of Platteville, died on Friday, April 9th, 2021. Visitation will be held from 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday, April 24th, at Martin Schwartz Funeral Home in Lancaster, where a celebration of life will take place at 3 p.m. Mary A. Winan, Galena, Illinois. Mary A. Winan, 99, of Galena, died on Sunday, April 18th, 2021. A drive-through gathering will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, April 22nd, at Furlong Funeral Chapel in Galena. Funeral services, Michael Bogue, Rockford, Illinois. Visitation at 12:30 to 1 p.m. Saturday, April 24th, Holy Ghost Catholic Church, Dubuque. Funeral mass, 1 p.m. Saturday at the church. Arnold Bergerman Jr., Hopkin, Iowa. Visitation at 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, April 22nd, and 9 to 10 a.m. Friday, April 23rd. Go Touch Funeral Home, Monticello, Iowa. Services, 10:30 a.m. Friday, St. Luke Catholic Church, Hopkinton. Catherine J. Davis, Dubuque. Memorial Service, 10:30 a.m. today, Church of the Resurrection, Dubuque. Janelle M. Temperley, East Dubuque, Illinois. Graveside Service, 11 a.m. Saturday, April 24th, East Dubuque Cemetery. Celebration of Life, 1 to 4 p.m. Saturday, Happy's Place, 2323 Rockdale Road. Moving to the sports section, United States Hockey League, Green Bay 7, Fighting Saints 4, Quick Starting Gamblers knock off Fighting Saints. Dubuque allows 4 first period goals, but is still slightly ahead of Team USA for the final postseason berth, by Jim Leitner. The Dubuque Fighting Saints got a little loose in their defensive coverage, and it cost them in a crucial game Monday night. Jackson Kunz scored a pair of first period goals, and the Green Bay Gamblers cruised to a 7-4 victory in their final home game of the regular season. Dubuque fell 22-23-3-1 for a .490 percentage and remained slightly ahead of Team USA, who is 21-23-3-4, .480, for the fourth and final playoff spot in the USHL's Eastern Conference. Dubuque hosts second place Muskegon on Thursday and third place Green Bay on Friday and Saturday to conclude the season. Meanwhile, Team USA plays 3 games at last place Youngstown. Kunz capitalized on a fortunate bounce to give the Gamblers the opening goals of just 6 minutes and 58 seconds into the contest. A Dubuque clearing attempt hit Jake Schmaltz in the stake, and the puck bounced to Kunz just outside the blue paint for his 21st goal of the season. Dubuque tied it 48 seconds later on Tristan Lemire's 11th goal of the season, which followed prolonged pressure on the power play. Daniel Dyshevnev moved the puck from the left wing to PJ Fletcher in the slot, and Fletcher tapped it to Lemire just outside the crease before Lemire scored on a behind-the-back shot past a prone Aaron Randazzo. Henry Thrun and Connor Kurth also contributed to the prolonged pressure, but the Gamblers regained the lead only 14 seconds later. Victor Mancini made a slick move around a defender to enter the zone, then slid a perfect feed to Ryan Kerwin for a backdoor goal. It was his 20th of the season. Kunz made it 3-1 at the 11-minute 53 mark by scoring on the rebound of his own shot, and Mancini added a goal less than 2 minutes later after taking a Jackson Hollum pass with goalie Lucas Perrick out of position. Dubuque nearly cut the deficit in half with 2 minutes and 9 seconds remaining in the period, but Matt Savoy's breakaway attempt hit the iron behind Radazzo. Dysevenev pulled the Saints within 4-2 at 5 minutes and 50 seconds of the second period on a stellar individual play for his 16th goal of the season. He circled in the Green Bay zone before finding a clear lane down the center of the ice and snapped a wrist shot over Randazzo's right shoulder. But the Gamblers got that goal back 64 seconds later when Cam Lund put a Hollum backdoor pass into a wide-open net for his first goal of the season. Mason Lahari added an insurance goal at 2 minutes and 21 seconds into the third period. Tyler Desrochers moved the puck to the net front, and Lahari won a battle in front before scoring his 18th of the season. Primo Self pulled the Saints within 6-3 by scoring a power play goal at 8 minutes and 55 seconds. Thrun moved the puck along the blue line to Kurth, who skated in on Randazzo before delivering a backdoor pass to Self for his 6th of the season. Ryan Green answered with a power play goal of his own set up by Hollum at 10 minutes and 53 seconds, but Dysonev tallied his 2nd of the night 14 seconds later. He collected his own rebound behind the goal line and banked in a shot in off Randazzo to make it 7-4. Green Bay defenseman Owen Murray delivered a big hit to Andrea Bolonsky on the second shift of the game. Bolonsky needed help to leave the ice and did not return. Prep track and field Drake Relays Blue Oval beckons. Drake Relays returns Thursday after pandemic-related hiatus by Danny Miller. For the first time in 2 years, the area's top prep track and field athletes will return to the sport's biggest stage at the Blue Oval inside Drake Stadium. The high school division of the 2021 Drake Relays will take place this week, albeit in condensed form. The high school event, which typically spans 2 days, will run in its entirety on Thursday. All of the track events will be run as finals, except for the 4x100-meter relay, which will have preliminary rounds and is reduced to 48 qualifying teams. Field events will have preliminaries and finals. Due to COVID-19 concerns, capacity for this year's event has been reduced from 15,000 to 3,100 socially distanced seating pods. With the limited availability, tickets sold out within minutes. Fans unable to attend are able to view the event on MediaCom channel MC22 or live stream it via runnerspace.com. The following area athletes with their season best qualified for Thursday's showcase. Boys 400, Matthew Cruz, Dubuque Senior, 49.59. Derek Leicht, Dubuque Hempstead, 50.70. 800, Derek Leicht, Dubuque Hempstead, 156.61. 1600, Brady Gabriel, Bellevue, 4 minutes, 26.80 seconds. Owen Maloney, Dubuque Hempstead, 4 minutes, 29.8 seconds. Ryan Winger, Dubuque Hempstead, 4 minutes, 29.33 seconds. 3200, Ryan Winger, Dubuque Hempstead, 9 minutes, 43.45 seconds. 110 hurdles, Logan Brosis, Western Dubuque, 15.14 seconds. 400 hurdles, Matthew Cruz, Dubuque Senior, 54.41 seconds. 4x100, Dubuque Walhart, Ryan Brosis, Gabe Ansoter, Carson Coomer, Jake Brosis, 44.27 seconds. Western Dubuque, Spencer Zinn, Mitchell Ashline, Tommy DeSoler, Logan Brosis, 43.79 seconds. Bellevue, Dusty Talbot, Ethan Clemmy, Alex Pitts, Jacob Waller, 43.80 seconds. Dubuque Senior, Zach Kubitz, Kane McWilliams, Jack Smith, David Williams, 44.13 seconds. 4x200, Dubuque Senior, David Williams, Logan Flanagan, Kane McWilliams, Matthew Cruz, 1 minute 31.01 seconds. Dubuque Walhart, Jake Brosis, Gabe Anstoder, Carson Coomer, Ryan Brusis, 1 minute 31.81 seconds. 4x400, Cascade, Jonah Mantarak, Cole Miller, Jackson McKaylor, Isaac Neva, 3 minutes, 30.20 seconds, Dubuque Sr., David Williams, Kane McWilliams, Easton Stackis, Matthew Cruz, 3 minutes, 28.26 seconds, Dubuque Hempstead, George Holzinger, Luke Audifi, Dontrell Harris, Derek Light, 3 minutes, 29.30 seconds, Distance Medley, Bellevue, Alex Pitts, Ethan Clemmy, Jacob Waller, Brady Gabriel, 3 minutes, 39.60 seconds, Dubuque Hempstead, Dontrell Harris, Tayshawn Vance, Luke Audifi, Derek Leach, 3 minutes, 35.59 seconds, 4x110 hurdles, Western Dubuque, Mitchell Ashline, Devin Niehaus, Jack Weismacher, Logan Bruces, 1 minute, 0.1.29 seconds, high jump, Logan Flanagan, Dubuque Senior, 6'4", long jump, Sam Afkins, Dubuque Senior, 21-11, Logan Brosis, Western Dubuque, 21-10.5. Shot put, Dakota Hoffman, Western Dubuque, 51-6.25. Discus, Duke Faley, Dubuque Walhart, 151-6. Girls, 100, Aaliyah Johnson, Dubuque Senior, 12.99 seconds. Audrey Bierman, Western Dubuque, 12.50 seconds. 400, Audrey Bierman, Western Dubuque, 57.84 seconds. Riley Steffen, Dubuque Walhart, 57.55 seconds. 1500, Julia Gale, Dubuque Hempstead, 4 minutes, 55.39 seconds. 3000, Keely Litson, Dubuque Hempstead, 10 minutes, 32.07 seconds. Julia Gell, Dubuque Hempstead, 10 minutes, 31.70 seconds. Lily Schmidt, Dubuque Senior, 10 minutes, 36.01 seconds. 100 hurdles, Devin Simon, Cascade, 16.10. 400 hurdles, Elizabeth Gibbs, Cascade, 1 minute, 7.80 seconds. 4x100, Dubuque Hempstead, Emily Klein, Natasha Freeberger, Jillian Yeager, Emma Hilken, 52.13 seconds. Western Dubuque, Ella Schindler, Sammy Recker, Bryn Walters, Erica Erzin, 51.27 seconds. Dubuque Walhart, Ariana Yaklich, Abby Wallace, Megan McDonald, Riley Steffen, 49.97 seconds. 4x200, Western Dubuque, Ella Schindler, Sammy Recker, Meredith Ball, Audrey Bierman, 1 minute, 48.37 seconds. Dubuque Walhart, Ariana Yaklich, Abby Wallace, Megan Dick McDonald, Tessa Burning, 1 minute, 45.80 seconds. 4x400, Dubuque Walhart, Tessa Burning, Jamie Smith, Mia Cunnert, Riley Steffen, 4 minutes, 8.30 seconds. Western Dubuque, Meredith Ball, Lauren Klein, Jessica Veach, Ellie Birds, 4 minute, 9.63 seconds. 4x800, Dubuque Walhart, Jamie Schmidt, Alex Oliver, Ellie Meyer, Elena Duggan, 9 minutes, 49.34 seconds. Dubuque Hempstead, Julia Gell, Brooke O'Brien, Ellie Hermiston, Keely Lightson, 9 minutes, 45.18 seconds. Dubuque Senior, Leah Klapikas, Caitlin Miller, Lily Schmidt, Izzy Gorton, 9 minutes, 54.80 seconds. 800 Sprint Medley, Western Dubuque, Erica Ernzen, Ella Schneidler, Sammy Recker, Audrey Bierman, 150.51. Dubuque Walhart, Ariana Yaklich, Abby Wallace, Tessa Burning, Riley Steffen, 1 minute, 49.63 seconds. 4x100 hurdles, Cascade, Elizabeth Gibbs, Rachel Romberg, Devin Smith, Libby Felton, 1 minute, 9.12 seconds. Long jump, Kyla Johnson, Dubuque Senior, 16-10.25. Tessa Burning, Dubuque Walhart, 17-8.5. Discus, Shayla Oster, Bellevue, 122-1. Across the tri-state, Dubuque man faces multiple charges after eluding police. Telegraph Herald, police said a Dubuque man was arrested early Monday after leading law enforcement on 2 chases and holding a woman against her will. Michael A. Connolly, 26, of 2040 St. John Drive, was arrested at 12:34 a.m. Monday at his residence on charges of false imprisonment, eluding, operating a vehicle without the owner's consent, possession of methamphetamine, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Court documents state that Connolly fled from Dubuque police at 8:25 p.m. Sunday from the parking lot of the BP gas station on East 16th Street. The vehicle was, quote, traveling more than 25 miles per hour over the speed limit, end quote. According to documents, the officers terminated the pursuit after 2.5 miles, and the vehicle was tracked on traffic cameras through the western part of Dubuque. Officers located the vehicle outside of 2040 St. John Drive. Officers met with Tristan H. McKinney, 24, of Mount Pleasant, Iowa, at the gas station. McKinney said she had stayed at Connolly's residence since Wednesday night. At about 7:30 a.m. Sunday, they left the house. McKinney said she thought she would be visiting her family, but instead Connolly forced her to remain in the vehicle, threatening to assault her if she attempted to leave as he drove to various locations in Wisconsin. McKinney said Connolly did not have permission to drive the vehicle. Earlier Sunday, Grant County, Wisconsin authorities briefly pursued a vehicle believed to have been driven by Connolly, according to the sheriff, Nate Dreckman. He said deputies terminated their pursuit of the vehicle as it continued south on U.S. 61-151 toward Iowa. The chase began after the driver ignored an attempted traffic stop. Authorities executed a search warrant at Connolly's residence, found meth and drug paraphernalia, and arrested him. Police also arrested his uncle, Leo T. Connolly, 48, of the same address, on charges of possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. And that does it for today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, April 20th on IRIS. I'm your reader, Erin. You can access today's reading online at iowaradioreading.org. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day.